Well, good morning, everyone.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful for these opportunities that we have. This is one of those days where I feel like I have 100 things to remember and I'm forgetting them all. This seems to be one of those days. But we are thankful for all the donation support and help of the fruit baskets. We're mindful of that. There's many people that helped. We had cookies made and all kinds of different things. We had help on the day, help leading up. We're just thankful for all those donations, help, and support. We tried to make our rounds as best we could this morning. There's some baskets for some of you, and please don't forget those when you leave this morning. There are a couple cards in the back. That's for Abra's father, who's in the hospital. And Nolan and Connie, who just recently left us and traveled down to enjoy Florida a little bit. You know, a little retirement, so there's a card back there for them. We also had some ornaments that were left over. We made some, like, hot chocolate ornaments. There's just a few extra. If you'd like to pick up one of those on your way out, they're there on the table. We just had a few extra, so those are there. Hopefully I got everything. Sometimes memory fails. You know, the holiday time is a time of joy. It's a time of family and friends and fellowship. But I think we would be mistaken if we think that all holidays necessarily share all those things all the time. It's probably all of us at one point in our lives, and if we haven't, we will eventually, will experience a hard holiday. A holiday that's harder on us than other years because of perhaps people that we have lost. People that have passed away from this life. Loved ones that have passed away. And certainly the holidays are a great time, and they're filled with joy and memories and smiles and laughter and so many of those things, and certainly those things should be considered. But I think that as the body of Christ, we have to look beyond our own situation to other people's situation from time to time. Is that we need to consider our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we understand that this holiday might be a little harder on them than perhaps holidays of the past. And I think that we need to be mindful of that, and we need to think of that from a Christian perspective. We need to think of it from the perspective of somebody going through a hard holiday, but also from the perspective of being a brother or sister in Christ of an individual that is going through that certain hard time. We have a relationship with Christ Jesus. We have a relationship in Christ, and we need to be mindful of those things and our obligations to one another. And we need to think of those things from time to time. Thinking about others is certainly a Christian idea. One that perhaps we fall short of from time to time as brothers and sisters in Christ. As we get caught up in our own lives and have things slip, we realize that we have forgotten to serve those that are around us to the best of our ability. But certainly there are things that we can consider Christian ideas, Christian principles that we should be looking at as we go into the holiday season and think of what can we do to help those that are around us, help those that are perhaps going through a hard time. The first thing that I think that we should do is we should encourage people to think positively. When it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to life in general, a large part of the Christian battle is in the mind. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible and Jesus does not get us away from the idea that a lot of the Christian fight, a lot of the Christian battle, is that in the mind. In fact, I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21, and the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking there, and he talks about murder and how we shouldn't murder. But he actually goes a step before that, and in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, he talks about hate in your heart. That idea that you know, murder is really never going to happen is that really intense hatred is not there. So deal with the intense hatred in your heart and in your mind, and murder will not take place. And then we move on just a few more verses to around verse 27, where he talks about idolatry. And it talks about the individual that has impure thoughts about another individual, and then that can lead to idolatry. And Jesus is like, if you deal with those impure thoughts, then you'll never really lead into idolatry, the actual act. Certainly the Christian battle, the Christian fight, our life is fought a lot right up here. And it's very easy when things happen to our lives, whether it's sickness, disease, death, disaster, as these things come at our lives, it's very easy sometimes to perhaps go to a negative place. But I think that God encourages us not to have a negative mindset, but a very positive mindset, to focus on those things that are good. And in relation to this lesson, we know that some individuals are going to go through some hard times when it comes to these holidays. They are going to have some, they're going to have the temptation to let their thoughts go to the negative, but God certainly wants our thoughts to go to the positive. And when I was thinking about this lesson and thinking about the idea that God wants us to guard our minds and to certainly have positive thoughts, it made me think and consider our memory. Our memory is a powerful thing. In fact, as I was thinking of this lesson and preparing this lesson, it's very hard to live without your memory. It's something that you need. Not only is it something that you need, but it can be one of the greatest blessings in your life. Is that your mind can take you in a negative circumstance where negative things are happening to you, and you can actually take yourself to a more positive place, a more positive outlook on life. And we don't have to go too far before we can see brothers and sisters in Christ that are great examples of this. We can look and we can see brothers and sisters in Christ that are going through cancer, going through a situation, and somehow, some way, they maintain a positive attitude. Well, how do they do that? They concentrate their thoughts not on the negative, but the positive. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that are great examples that have lost loved ones and have lost spouses. That they have not let that tear them down, but we can see in their life they're still trying to live the Christian life, keep that positive attitude, and live the life which God wants them to live. And one of those powerful tools that we have is our memory. See, we can lose a lot of things in this life, but one thing that we fortunately can hang on to for a long time is our memory. Memories that can make us smile. Memories that can make us laugh. Memories that can bring joy into our lives. And God wants us to go to the positive end of the spectrum and not the negative. He leads us to thinking positive thoughts. He wants us to be a joyful people. And certainly I think that when we fall into that trap of negative thinking, it leads us down a path that Satan wants us to go down. Very dangerous negative self-talk. I teach on the college level, and I always look at my evaluations, and I take those very seriously, what the students write about me after the semester's over. And one of the students this semester, she wrote an evaluation, she said, "You gave a speech on negative self-talk in class one time," and she said, "it just really impacted me in a special way." But see, really, I think God tries to lead us away from negative self-talk and tries to lead us into really focusing on the good of life. And do you understand that your negative self-talk can really steal your joy? It can steal your peace? It can really steal, really, the Christian life from you if you let the negative thoughts take over. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, it says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Now think of that. It says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." We have to be very careful of our thoughts and mindful of our thoughts, because our thoughts can actually tear us down. A lot of us hurt ourselves because of the way we think. We refuse to focus on the good and we focus on the bad, and then we wonder why we're walking around all flashed about. Because we won't focus on those good gifts that God has given. We won't focus on the blessings of our life. We won't focus on those good things that are around us. The devil wants you to think very negatively as you go throughout this life. The devil does not want you to think in a positive way. Well, why would the devil want that? Well, one, it's the opposite of what God wants, right? I mean, they're an opposite camp. If God wants you to think positively, then the devil, by default, he wants you to think negatively. You think of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Focus on the things that are good. Focus on the things that make you smile. Focus on those things that make you laugh. Focus on those things that brighten your day and brighten the people's day around you. Do not focus on the negative things of this life, because it'll bring you down. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that your negative self-talk, your negative thinking will drag you away from God, not only drag you away from God, but dragging you away from serving God. A positive Christian, a Christian that's filled with joy, love, and has these positive feelings, has more of an impact on the world. Don't we know that? The Christian that is more positive is going to have a better impact on the world than the Christian that is negative. Are we mindful of that in our positive thinking? See, God tells us to think positive, and Satan wants us to do the exact opposite. He wants to hear that negative self-talk. He wants us to go to those dark places because he knows that it tears us down, it debilitates us, and makes us ineffective in our service to God. The devil knows that our evangelism suffers when we're not thinking positive. The devil knows that our service suffers when we're not thinking positive. The devil knows if he steals our joy, we will not be as effective in the Christian life. This shouldn't surprise us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it describes the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And one way he tries to devour us is by getting into our minds and tearing us down. Remember Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, a broken spirit dries the bone. He's trying to take our spirit away. He's trying to take away the joy. He's trying to take away the good things of life. He's trying to take away your smile. He's trying to take away the beautiful and lovely things of life. And he does it just by taking you and your perspective away from the positive and turning it to the negative. We have to be very careful and very, very mindful of that God, the great designer, has given us a memory. He has given us power over our thoughts. He has given us the freedom of choice. The freedom of choice on what we're going to dwell on throughout this life. Are we going to dwell on those things that are good? Are we going to dwell on those things that are just? Are we going to dwell on those things that are lovely? Are we going to dwell on the beauty of life? I heard a story about an individual that had cancer. He was just sitting on his bed and he was reflecting on life and reflecting on things throughout his life. And he had this quote, and I thought it was pretty powerful. He said, a person can live a long time on good memories. Person can live a long time on good memories. See, we can have a lot of bad things that happen to us throughout life. Death, disasters, disease, all kinds of things can happen to us. But the mind can be a safe haven. A safe haven where God is trying to get you to focus on the positive and focus on the positive things of life and not the negative. And if you can linger on the positive more than you do the negative, I think it makes you a more effective Christian with evangelism, with service, with trying to be a partner, companion, and friend to your fellow man. I read about a lot of prisoners of war, and it's interesting when you read and they reflect on their situation. You know what they focused on while they were captured? You know what they focused on when all these bad things that were happening to them? You know what they focused on? They focused on the positive. If they focused on the negative, they would have went crazy. If they focused on the negative, they would have torn themselves down. If they focused on the negative, they would not have survived. But when you look at these individuals, they were focused on hope. They were focused on the good things of life. They were focused on their family back home. They were focused on something to live for. They were focused on purpose. They were focused on positive things. And I think that is where Christ is leading us. I don't think it's a mistake that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then you get down to verse 8 and God is talking about positive thinking. How can we rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. How can we always be in that state? And I think we can be in that state if we take control of our thoughts and linger on the positive and not the negative things of life. Certainly, we have many things to be thankful for as a Christian. There's many things to reflect on that can give us joy as we go throughout this life. And as we think of individuals that have passed from this life, I don't think it's bad to reflect. I would just say reflect on the positive. Certainly I can think of individuals that have passed away from my life. I think of my grandma in particular. And when I think of her, what do I think about? I think of the positive things. I think of how she impacted my life. I think how she touched my life. I think of the family meals we had with her. I think of those things. I think of the positive. Can we focus on those positive things? That's where God is trying to lead us. So as we go into this period, that's going to be hard for some of us, we encourage you to stay positive, to think positive. And we, as your brother and sister in Christ, we are going to try to be there and be a positive impact in your life as well as you try to get through this holiday. You know, when you think of those individuals that have passed away from our lives, particularly those that have died in the Lord, what a blessing that is. You know, our loss is their gain. Our brothers and sisters in Christ that have passed from this life, really, they have left us, but really, they have left us for a better place. Isn't that what Paul was trying to say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Our loss is their gain. one of the things I think we have to think about is thinking positively. And I think the Bible really pushes us in that direction. The Bible tells us how important our thoughts are. And we have to be careful and mindful of our brothers and sisters in Christ. As they start to go down that negative thought, we kind of pull them back and try to point them back to the positive things that are all around them. Number two is not only consider your positive thoughts, but also I would suggest you to consider those that are around you. As people go into hard times, it's very important, the people that are around you. And I think as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a strong connection. I think in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I grew up, you know, there's individuals that when they say prayers, there's certain Bible verses that they always reference. There's certain Bible verses that it seems like certain people, they always have those in their prayers. Well, when I grew up, there was one individual that when they always prayed, they always had that phrase, like precious faith. Like precious faith. You know, that is what connects us. That is what binds us. That's what keeps us together through so many things. Like precious faith. That's what Peter's talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. This precious faith connects us. This precious faith binds us. This precious faith knits us together as a family, that we can stick together through things, that we can try to support one another as we come on hard times, as we go through those hardships of life, that we can stick together with our mindset on those things that are above and set on heaven. You know, I really truly believe if I asked anything that I truly needed, that the saints would come to my assistance. That the saints would come to my aid. If I came before this body and I said that I needed something here or I needed something there, I have no doubt that the saints would answer the call. But what's sad is from time to time that call never comes. Because a lot of times when people are going through hard times, they feel isolated, they feel lonely, they feel alone, but yet God has set us up a support system, has He not? A connection of individuals with like precious faith. So we can support one another, love one another, and help one another through the hard times of life. I really do believe if I asked something that I was in need of, I would not have a shortage of individuals that would be at my door to help. And I really think if you reflect and you look at that as well, you could say that as well, there would be people at your door ready to help. But sometimes you have to reach out and ask. One of the great blessings we have is the assembly of the saints. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching, an encouraging body. A body that is looking out for one another, supporting one another. And certainly we're not perfect on all occasions, but certainly we will try to help. And certainly understand that not only should you look to your thoughts during this season, but you should also look to others. You know, I think of prayer, which has already been mentioned today, the prayer of the saints. You know, have you ever thought about that great blessing that we have? Is that when we are a saint, when we become a Christian, we certainly have the great blessing that we can request prayers from our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a blessing that is. What a support system that is, that we can request prayers. But I have a question for you. Maybe you haven't thought about this before. How many times have you requested prayers from the body of Christ? Certainly that support system is there. That avenue to gain a prayer from your brothers and sisters in Christ is there. And in moments in life where you feel helpless, where you feel weak, where many times our human hands fall short of helping you, God's helpful hand can be there. And certainly sometimes we understand that we're limited in what we can do, but we understand that we can pray to God and just extend and intervene for a little extra help from above. Have you requested prayers of the saints? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 25, it says there simply, brethren, pray for us. You know who made that request? An apostle, a missionary, an evangelist, a Christian, a writer. I mean, all those kind of wrapped up in one. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, brethren, pray for us. Who did that come from? Perhaps a Christian that we look up to. Perhaps a Christian that perhaps sometimes we might put on a pedestal. We understand that we shouldn't do that. But someone that we look up to, that we might think, but what does he say, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25, brethren, pray for us. You know, if Paul can request prayer, I think I can request prayer as well. If one of those that have been so through so much and served God to such a degree, if he can ask for the prayers of the saints, certainly I should not feel ashamed to ask for the prayers of my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we should be encouraged to reach out and ask for prayers when it's needed. I remember one situation that sticks out in my mind. There was a young man, he was a Christian. He lost his sister and his mother in the span of a month. And all he had left was his father, and his father was going through a period where he was at the end of his life, and basically he was being taken care of by his son. And he had lost his sister, he lost his mother, and he's taking care of his father. And I remember him coming down the aisle on that day, sitting in the front pew, and just asking for prayer. He got it. Do you understand that you have that as a Christian? You have the support system. And we try to rally around that Christian and try to help and assist them as many times as we can. We understand that there's only so much that we can do, but certainly we're there to try to support and help. Prayer is a powerful thing. When I think of prayer and its power, I think of Acts chapter 12, if you turn over there. You think that if you really get perspective on the situation, it seems like such a dire situation, such a dark situation if we try to put ourselves into the situation of Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12 it says, now about that time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Here in Acts chapter 12, we see that Herod has extended his hand. It says that he is harassing the church. Well, harassing the church in what way? Well, he ends up killing James. And he sees that the Jews are pleased that he killed James, so he goes a step further and says, I'm going to arrest Peter. And now Peter's arrested, and he's waiting for after Passover, but it looks like Peter might be in for the same fate. Now you start putting yourself in the situation, what if we started pulling people out of Sandyville, and they're getting killed and arrested? I mean, this is a dire situation in Acts chapter 12. The church is under attack, they're being killed. Not only are they being killed, they're being pulled out and arrested. And what does the church do in the time of distress? When their moment is dire, when it seems like a lot of things are going against them, it seems like they're perhaps losing, what do? They pray. They pray for Peter. They pray for Peter. And as you read chapter 12, they're surprised, almost, it appears, when their prayers are answered. And someone is knocking at the door. And who is knocking at the door but Peter? And Rhonda goes there to the door, and she's like, Peter's outside. She goes back and tells him, they're like, Rhonda, you don't know what you're talking about. There's no way. We know Peter's in prison. There's no way he's at the door. Well, who's at the door but Peter? In a moment so dire, where Christians are being killed, where Christians are being arrested, where all the church is under attack, we see that prayer is answered and gives the church some hope to continue on. And certainly we should rely on prayer just as the first century church relied on prayer. We observed that when the situations are dire, when they're under distress, and I would suggest to you even under times that are good, they reflect on the goodness of God, and they certainly ask for God's intervention and assistance as they go about their lives. We see that the prayer is answered, and Peter is out of prison. You know, sometimes I felt in my life I'm running on prayer alone. You know? You feel like you have that emotional gas tank, you know, and you feel like you're running on empty. And sometimes you feel like you're running on prayers alone. It's so encouraging when you hear brothers or sisters in Christ saying that they're praying for you, that they're thinking of you, that they want to assist and help you. And really, they're just waiting many times for you just to give them a call and just call in the reinforcement. Certainly, we try to pick out times where we can come in and intervene, but many times we need you to kind of just call in the support. And sometimes we all need that from time to time. What a blessing we have of prayer in Christ Jesus. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. We see in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Do we understand that it is not burdensome for God to hear our prayers? I think people feel that way sometimes, don't they? Because they feel like if they ask for help, that they're being a burden in some way. Really, you're giving us an opportunity. You know, we want to help, but sometimes we feel like we want to help. But sometimes we do want to hear that validation of somebody just asking for help. But I think we carry that physical dynamic of us having the heart. We struggle with asking for help sometimes, and I think we almost carry that thinking over to God, that we don't want to ask God for help when He is there, willing and able to help us. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord." But then, as you continue on in chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, "But the prayer of the upright is His delight." The prayer of the upright is His delight. God doesn't mind our prayers. I think it actually probably, to some degree, when you think about it, God is probably, when He looks down, He is well pleased when He sees Christians, when He sees His servants going to Him in prayer, asking for assistance for themselves, perhaps, but asking for assistance for others. I think it is His delight when He sees that Christians are concerned for other Christians, not only other Christians, but the world, as we go about our lives. Certainly these are things that we should consider. We consider that we have this strong connection with one another. We consider our strong connection, but we also consider this great blessing of prayer that we have with one another. We understand that prayer is powerful. We understand that prayer really focuses our minds on positive things. Perhaps that's why in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 it says that men ought to pray and not lose heart. I think that prayer can be an encouraging process and one that we should not forsake. And we should just remember the God that we serve. We serve a God that does understand what we're going through. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but at all points is tempted as we were, yet without sin." If Jesus can relate to us, and we need to understand that we serve a God that is concerned for others, and that we as Christians serving Christ should be concerned for others as well. Perhaps that's really what it's after in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 when it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who are weep." Is that we should be looking for situations where we can help, where we can relate, where we can be intimately involved with our brothers and sisters in Christ, where we can sympathize with those individuals that are around us. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Through periods of loss, we can certainly pray. We can certainly try to be there and show that we care. We can be compassionate. We can be comforters. We can be burden bearers. And certainly we can do our best to help these individuals that are in danger of feeling lonely. And not only feeling lonely, but going down the path of negative thoughts where they isolate themselves from the world, but worse, isolate themselves from God. Number one, when we go into this period of time, think about your thoughts. Try to think of positive thoughts. Not only positive thoughts, but think of your support system of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And thirdly, whenever we go through any hard time, we should always look to God. We really must look to God. You know that God is the source of all comfort? That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now, that's kind of like an interwoven. Wait, who's the source of all comfort? God is the source of all comfort. So when I want to go out and I want to comfort somebody else, how do I do that? Is I reference them back to God, because He's the source of my comfort. Reminding individuals to look to God. When we go out and we try to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, certainly we are limited in what we can do in this physical plane of life. We can support as we can. We want to help. We want to support. We want to be encouraging. We want to do those things. But at the end of the day, we realize that our helpful hand only extends so far on this physical plane of life. But one of those things of being a helper and a comforter on this earth is pointing back to God. Isn't that what it's saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4? Blessed be the God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's a comfort chain, and it starts with God. He's the source of all comfort. We are comforted by God, and when we go out and we see someone struggling, we can say, hey, I've been comforted by God, by His grace, by His mercy, by His forgiveness, by His love and care. And certainly you need to be reminded of that from time to time. We all need to be reminded of that from time to time as we go out into the world. The comfort that we receive from God is really something special because it's the comfort that really leads into our peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. We understand that our God cares. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God cares for you. God wants to support you. The psalmist said in Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Casting your care upon God, casting your burden on the Lord. What is God trying to say? God is there for us through the hard times. And in the psalm there, Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, He will sustain you. He shall permit that the righteous He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. God is there to be our source of comfort, our source of peace, and really our source of strength. In Psalm 37, verse 39, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The God of heaven wants us to cast our burdens onto Him. He wants us to sustain and support us. But many times I wonder if we go His direction. Many times I fear that when hard times come, we actually run away from God. We see that in life, don't we? We see individuals that when the time of struggle comes, when the hard times come, we see people's thoughts not go to the positive, they go to the negative. We see that people isolate themselves instead of seeking out their brothers and sisters in Christ. And then when it comes to God, they run away from God instead of going to God. God gives us the simple answers, but a lot of times we won't take them. A lot of times growing up, you know, a lot of times God is compared to our earthly father in terms of just that relationship and that idea. But sometimes my dad has given me very simple advice, and I didn't follow it. God tries to give us simple advice. Think positive, not negative. But what do? We run to the negative thoughts. God tells us to seek out our brothers and sisters in Christ and not really isolate. And we try to isolate. God tells us to, in the hard times, not turn away from God, but turn towards God. And yet, it seems like we try to do the exact opposite. God tries to give us simple advice for the hard times. Will we follow the simple advice? Sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow. A lot of times we try to go in the exact opposite direction, but we need to remember in those hard times, Psalm 37, verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. God is the source of so many things. He's the source of our comfort. He's the source of our strength. He's the source of our peace. He's the source of really all things. But will we go to Him when we need to? We need to remember in hard times to think positive and not negative. We need to remember in hard times to not isolate and seek out our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to remember in hard times to look to God and not turn away. The question for us is, how can we be that strong support system as we go into this period where we know some of our brothers and sisters in Christ will be going through a hard time? How can we be utilized? How can we support those that are around us? Perhaps you have somebody in mind. We're supposed to be the light of the world. How can you light up somebody's life in terms of a call, in terms of a card, in terms of a kind word? How can you be the light of the world? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Nothing would make us happier this day. But just know when the hard times come, God has set us up for success. He's given us simple advice. Think positive. Seek out your brothers and sisters in Christ and look to the Lord. If you need to become a New Testament Christian, need the prayers of the church, we ask you to please come as we stand, as we sing.